In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Please be seated. In the gospel lesson today, there are references to Joseph and Mary seeming to already be married, but they weren't already married, so it takes our understanding a bit of the culture of the time to understand better some of what that passage from Matthew meant. There were really three steps to a Jewish marriage. The first was for the families to come to an agreement on a marriage contract. And that was something officially drawn up and signed, and it included a dowry that was established for the bride and was to be paid by the groom's family. Somehow that law never worked in my being the dad to two daughters who got married, because as I remember, I paid the bill. It wasn't the other. Anyways, somewhere along the way, the rules got changed. The second step was for there to be a public announcement that was made, and that the couple was pledged or engaged to each other. And it was during that engagement that they still lived with their own families. They did not move in together yet, but they were referred to as husband and wife, even from that time of that engagement. And any infringement that happened of the obligations of marriage during that engagement could be punished by divorce, or in the case of adultery, by death, by stoning. It was literally a capital offense. And then the third step in this process was for the couple to actually be married and to begin living together. So this visit in a dream to Joseph happened during this time of Mary and Joseph being engaged and the time of their marriage. And the message from God through this angel really didn't let Joseph off the hook. It really was not an easy response. He was asking for, or God was commanding for, handling Mary's pregnancy. Going ahead of their wedding would place both of them under ridicule by their families and by the community that she was with child. And ending the engagement, on the other hand, could really risk Mary's life. She could literally be stoned. But Joseph ended up believing Mary's story, didn't he? He had such confidence in her and such deep faith in the relationship he had with her that he believed her, that God was the source of the pregnancy. Wow, that's a tough one, isn't it? But he believed so strongly in the relationship they had that he believed that. He also believed that this dream he had was real. He should act on it. That it was absolutely a visit from an angel. And I think about the dreams I have in my life, and pretty much all of them I relate to either a movie I just watched or what I had for dinner. It isn't so much that I think this is God's word. But boy, have I relied in my life through some of the dreams Ruthie's had. I mean, one of them was, I think, within a couple of weeks after we were married, she woke me up in the middle of the night to say, "Do you hear that? Do you hear that?" And I said, "No, what are you talking about?" She said, "Well, do you hear that singing?" And she was describing an angelic choir, an angel's choir. And she said, "You got to hear that. It's so loud. You can't hear that." I said, "Are you awake?" "Yes, I'm awake. Are you awake? Can't you hear this?" And she knew that this was God saying, "You know, this is a marriage that's going to last. Seems to be lasting, huh, Ruth?"
"So far."
"So far, yeah. Yeah. We'll see how this sermon ends tonight." Another one that she had. You know, there was a lot of grieving in my family when my mom passed away at 51 years old. And it was just a week before Christmas. And it was a very sad time. And we just had a hard time. Our whole family had a hard time with that. She was way too young. And Ruth had another dream. And the dream was that my mom came to her in full health and full of joy and saying, "You need to tell Ken I'm fine. And tell Ken that there's, as I remember right, there was something in the house. It was her house that we were living in. And be sure to open this drawer and get this item because I don't want it lost because I'm gone. And Ruth woke up, told me the story. We got the thing out of the drawer. I believe in dreams being one of the ways that God does speak to us. And Joseph absolutely believed in this dream being reality. And so he deliberately decided to make the same decision that Mary had made, to do whatever was God's will, that they were willing to go through whatever they had to go through, however difficult it was, however dangerous it was. They were absolutely committed that they wanted to be part of God's plan, and they were going to say yes. He protected Mary during their trip to Bethlehem. Remember that they had to travel through Samaria to get there, and it was a 70-mile trip, according to my calculation with a little ruler on a map. I think it was about 70 miles, and they couldn't call public transit. They had a donkey. And can you imagine how long 70 miles took? Probably a few weeks, right, by foot. And Mary was about to have a baby, traveling through really a dangerous place for Jews to travel, through Samaria. They could be robbed. They could be killed. But Joseph made sure that they were safe. And then when they arrived, remember when they arrived, if you've attended a posada, you can remember knocking on the door, "Go away, there's no room in the inn. Go away." And so Joseph made sure, though, that Mary had a safe place to rest and to end up having the baby Jesus. He even received more guidance from angels later. What an amazing story of this man when you dig into the little bit we know about his life, that he was guided by angels when he was older to escape from Egypt, or to Egypt rather, to go to Egypt. And by doing that, he escaped Herod's execution of the children. Remember the holy innocents who were killed? Jesus would have been among them. He was also guided when it was safe to go home, but told not to go to Jerusalem, but to go to Nazareth, which is where Jesus grew up. He took Jesus to the Jerusalem temple every year at Passover to make sure that Jesus had a good spiritual foundation and that he was known by the elders and was able to talk with them. He taught Jesus the trade of being a carpenter. So there are lots of ways that Joseph showed himself to be a faithful man of God. And he showed you and me how to be faithful people of God. That there are decisions we can make, there's discernments we can have, there's an openness that we can have to be invited to do things maybe we're not so comfortable with. I remember as a product manager in one of my first engineering jobs, that for some reason my boss decided that when one of the salespeople was in an argument with a buyer at one of our customers, which were, you know, Convergent and Tandem and HP and Apple, and there are people you don't really want to argue with the buyer, right? And so the boss was sending me to settle the arguments. And I thought, well, I have no training in that, and I have no experience, and I don't really feel comfortable being put in the middle of a situation like that. But he was my boss. I wanted to get a paycheck, so I decided, okay, I'll go. And the result was that I ended up finding out, wow, for some reason it seems to work. We ended up settling a lot of those issues, most of them. And I found out that there were skills that I ended up learning that served me in my family. They served me in my parish ministries, to just learn how to avoid divisions, how to avoid cliques forming, how to avoid explosive conflicts when we're in a tight-knit group. So I found out that was something that was not comfortable. It was not something I wanted to do, but it was something I can look back and really do believe that God was putting me in a spot, training me, a skill that I could really use in many places. So this is something I'd like you to reflect on. I'd like you to think about as we think about Joseph's life at this end of Advent. Have you ever felt led to do something that just made no logical sense of why you would be in that position to do that? end up finding out that it was absolutely the right thing to do. That you ended up seeing, as uncomfortable as you thought it was going to be, as impossible as you might have thought it was going to be, that when you got through that and learned those skills, you decide, I saw God at work in that. So being faithful men and women of God requires that we be sensitive to God calling to us. And sometimes it is through dreams. Sometimes it's through a persistent thought that just will not let go of us. Sometimes it's the same message we get from several different people. And we go, wow, that's interesting that that topic came up out of the blue from people around me. And I think it's also important when we look at this discernment process to make sure it's always consistent with God's word. That's why we need to dig into the Bible. It helps us understand the mind of God and the mind of Christ. And God's not going to ask us to do something that's contrary to God's nature. So we need to learn God's nature. We need to be open to God's plan, even taking action when it might not make logical sense, and being willing to get into situations that might not be easy. As a faith community, I think I see examples of that all around us. You ended up deciding to reserve most of this facility to be a Christian preschool. And it meant not having that space available for other things you could have done. And I know there was some tension about that, because I was, before I even arrived here, I was doing emails back and forth with Dee, who was senior warden at that time, saying, how do we resolve that we don't have a coffee hour spot anymore because it's a preschool? We have to change the whole room around every time we want to do anything. But we found a way around it, didn't we? We put up a divider wall, and it works. It works. And we're blessing a lot of lives. Believe me, we're blessing a lot of lives by having that preschool. Another uncomfortable thing might have been to give up the idea that there had to be a full-time priest here. And if you didn't have a full-time priest, then you weren't a full-fledged parish. I think we proved that wrong. I feel that way. I hope you feel that way. I think the most creative thing I've seen since I've been here is that you took the risk of looking at a bike rally, a motorcycle bike rally, and a beer and wine stroll, and turn them into outreach events. I can't think of any other church that ever would have thought of that, but it works, and it's really a lot of fun, and we meet lots of people, and there are so many people in town who walk in here and say, I've lived here my whole life and haven't seen this gorgeous place. How great is this? I think also personally, there are ways that we can experiment being a volunteer in some new ministry setting that we haven't tried before and just try it out. It doesn't have to be a lifelong contract. It can just be an experiment to see if it fits. We can try out leading a personal ministry, not just in trying one out, but leading one and see where it goes, even if it feels scary at first. We can recognize a skill that God has given us and something that we love to do, and to find a way to share it with others. At this Christmas concert last week, we ended up having people in our community here who love to bake. There was a table 6 feet long, piled mountain high with cookies. It was the attraction point of the concert. Not that the singer wasn't great. She was really great. But boy, were the cookies, these homemade cookies. Homemade cookies. Got lots of great comments. You know, all these things are about us being strong in faithful service. And Matthew's gospel just gives us this little slice of time in Joseph's life from the time that he was engaged to Mary until Jesus was 12 years old and went to the temple. This 12-year slice is the only thing we see of Joseph's life. But what we get in that story, just in that 12-year slice of his life, is a powerful model for being faithful men and women of God. Faithful men and women of God. That's who you are. And I think it's a powerful part of our Christmas story to recognize it. And I'm glad this year in our cycle of readings we get to read about Joseph, because I think it is an example for us to really think about what we can do, what we can grow into to be faithful men and women of God. Amen.